Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Using My Keys broadcast. This is your host, Valerie Burrell. Grateful and thankful to God for another opportunity to come to share a relevant teaching with those who have an ear to hear. Today is February 22nd. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. And as we've been doing all month long, we are continuing our discussion and teachings on the topic of love. On last night, as I sought the Lord about what to share this morning, He wanted to encourage and empower His people today to let love in and be restored. To let love in and be restored. So, Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for being in the midst of us on this morning, O God. We pray that You would speak a word to richly empower us, O God, that after we leave this encounter, this moment of time, God, we will leave better than we were before we dialed in or logged on. Father, we thank You. We give You glory, honor, and praise, and count it done. In Jesus' name, amen. For those who are on the phone lines this morning, if you have questions or comments during this teaching, feel free to please press 1, and I will bring you on live. Amen. So, let love in. Let love in and be restored. Going to a very familiar passage of Scripture, Joel 2, verses 25 through 26. It says, I will restore you to the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. I will restore you. I will restore you. I will restore you. We're talking this morning about letting love in. Because we're pretty transparent at Empowerment Place, because we understand the relevancy, the need for the relevancy of God's word to be applied to our daily living. So we're talking about letting love in and being restored. We have to consider all of the things that we have gone through in life that are related to love. Love, or the things we thought were love, the many times that we opened ourselves up to individuals and situations because we felt that someone loved us, cared for us, meant us good and not harm. And in doing so, we found ourselves in a place where we were broken. We had been disappointed. We were let down. And in those moments, it's so easy to see hindsight. It's easy to see how in those moments of distress, we relinquished the right to have all that God had for us. Now, I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about myself. Because I know what I've been through. I know the things that I've done. I know the choices that I've made as a result of losing love, or what I thought was love. This month we talked about how we looked for love in all the wrong places and we found it. We talked about how love has been tangible, not really expressing the fullness of God's love, but expecting to feel the fullness of another man or another woman's love. But God said last night as He spoke to me that we have forfeited too much And now he wants to restore us. And the way that's going to happen is that we've got to let love in again. 1 Peter 4 tells us this. I want to read it to you right. Let me put on my glasses. I have them, honey. 1 Peter 4 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." That's the fluffy of it. Let me read it to you in the New International Translation. That sounds a little closer to home. It says, "Above all, keep your love for one another fervent, because love covers a multitude of sins." I'm going to read down further. Verse 9 says, "Show hospitality to one another without complaining. Just as each one of us received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the varied grace of God." Back to verse 8. "Above all, keep your love for one another fervent, because love covers a multitude of sin." I said, I hear that, but what is that really saying? When it says keep your love fervent, it means felt very strongly, having or showing very strong feelings, very hot, exhibiting or marked by great intensity or feeling. Impassioned is a synonym of fervent. So keep your love fervent. Keep your love hot for one another, strong for one another, not wavering for one another, because it covers a multitude of sin. And as the Lord spoke even those things, he said, along with letting love in and being restored, when you let love in, I also need you to forgive. He wants us to forgive those who've done all manners of evil against us. Forgive those who hurt our feelings. Forgive those who said they loved us, but they really didn't love us. Forgive those. Even relationships with your parents and your siblings and your children. God said for every relationship that has caused you harm behind love, to forgive them and let love in again so that you can be restored. Too often we find ourselves being in bondage because we've not forgiven and we've not loved. And the very person that we're mad at or we're not forgiving has moved on with their life and is doing well, is not even thinking about us. But we're so wrapped up in our emotions. Ooh, he hurt my feelings and I'm never going to forget him. Ooh, he said this about me or she said that about me and I'm just angry and I'm not, stop it. Stop it, because all you're doing is hurting yourself. There are things that God wants to do in our lives, in each of our lives. But some of it he can't do because he can't even trust you to love. It says to love all fervently. Love all. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Think about everything that you've done in your life, as I think about everything I've done in my life. To know that God forgave me and he exhibited his love to me as he did to you by giving his only begotten son. And even then he said that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He's promising to give us everlasting life. And then he is also telling us in the word that he wants to restore to us everything that has been lost. But in order for that restoration to take place, we've got to let love in again. We've got to forget those things which are behind us, and we've now got to press now towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. The word says to lay aside every weight and sin that would so easily beset us. So we've got to lay this stuff aside. All of this anger and bitterness and hatred and envy and strife, we've got to lay those things aside. And begin to look at our brothers and sisters, our friends and even our foes. Begin to look at them and recognize the spirit that's in operation in them versus looking at them as an individual that's done us wrong. I think often that when we look at people and we carry these feelings towards people who have done us wrong, we forget to look at the pain that we've caused others. I've not always done everything right. I've not always treated everyone right. But yet I expect everyone to treat me right. Does that make sense? I mean, is that equality? Because it sounds a little heavy-weighted on one side to me. That I would expect others to treat me in a way that I'm not willing to treat them. What is it that's going on in your life and in your spirit that will not allow you to let it go? Has the pain been that intense? Are the memories that vivid that when you see them, when you hear their voice, when any of those things occur, it takes you back to a dark place where it's hard for you to forgive. It's hard for you to let go. God said, today we've got to stop it. We've got to stop. We have got to let things go. We have got to let love in and then experience a restoration that God has for us. Last week I ministered, and God spoke then about restoration. He talked about restoration, elevation, and manifestation. And those things can be applied even in this, that after we let love in and we are restored, then God can elevate us to the place that he desires us to be. And in that elevation, we will begin to experience the manifestation of the things that God has for us. But as long as we're walking around carrying all this yuck stuff, this bitterness and this anger and this envy and this strife and this jealousy, we shouldn't be expecting the manifestation of his promises towards us because we're not right. I think it was Prophet Ralph Fauntleroy some years ago. He was doing a teaching, and he said, don't do what's good, do what's right. Because a lot of times we do what's good, and we know good ain't right, but it's good. We've got to stop doing the good thing and do the right thing. We've got to let love in. We have a few callers on the line this morning. And I don't want to bring you live without you wanting to. But if you have something to share this morning, a comment, press one and I'll bring you on. Amen. Let go. Let love in and be restored. Well, amen. Amen. Let me go to the scripture. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8:26, we're talking about letting go, letting love in, and being restored. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And you say, okay, well, Valerie, what's that about? The Spirit knows us in our weakness. He knows us in our troubled times. He knows those very intricate workings of how we operate. And in our moment of weakness, the Spirit will help us to utter what our conversation needs to be to the Father so that we can get out of the mess that we're in. To get out of the mess that we're in. Let love in and be restored. Okay. So the question is, how do I let love in? I mean, I hear the scripture. I know I've got to forgive. But how do I really let it in? I mean, how do I trust again? How do I trust again? Because if I love again, that means I've got to trust again. And trusting, yeah, we said that we've got to forgive. We've got to trust. How do I trust again? The Word tells us, you know, to trust the Lord with all of our heart. And it tells us to lean not to our own understanding. I think a part of letting love in requires that we acknowledge God, acknowledge His love. Let His love come in and supersede anything that we thought about regarding love. Because it's evident for me that for a lot of years I was loving wrong. I was loving wrong. And because I was loving wrong, I was living wrong. But now I have a better understanding of what love is. So I'm loving right, and I'm living right, and restoration is taking place. I'm experiencing the manifestation of what God has for me, and it's coming about in a tremendous way. It's coming about very quickly. Why? Because He said that He would restore. That first scripture I read to you in Job, He said He was going to restore everything that had got eaten up, that had been taken away. He was going to restore it. But the requirement was that I get in alignment with His word and His plan. His requirement was that I stop doing Valerie, start doing all of God. Come on, we keep it real here. We keep it real. And for those of you all who are joining this morning whose services were shut down because of bad weather, thank you so much for joining us. Because it's our desire here at the Empowerment Place to give you relevant information so that you can apply it to your daily lives and be all that God requires you to be. There's somebody on the line this morning listening in for the first time who woke up in the bed with their spouse, but you were on one edge of the bed and they were on the other. Yet you're one flesh. And you wonder why your relationship is so strained with each other and then strained with your children and strained with other family members when the fact is you're not even right in your own bed. Because you're not loving the way God intended that you love. You're not operating as one. So you're struggling. God wants you this morning, this very morning, to let love in again so that you can be restored, so that that relationship can be restored to be greater than it was in the beginning. Let love in. And people, please, let's put pride aside. Pride would have you say, well, I'm not going to say I'm sorry first, because she did it. She said it. I'm not going to forgive her. I'm not going to do it. Look, come on. God's forgiven us. He's cast all of our sins into the sea of forgiveness. He's forgiven us. So who are you not to forgive? the one who's done you wrong. I'm around people often. You say you love God that you've never seen, but you can't love your brother or sister standing beside you in the mall, sitting beside you in the pew in church, riding in the car, you know, passing you on the highway. You love God that you've not seen, but you can't love your brothers and sisters that you see all the time. But those who are married, you say you love God, but you say you got issues with loving the person that you chose to be with, that you made a covenant with, to be with until death do you part. But you turn that light switch, you turn that love on like you turn the light switch on. I love you now, but I don't love you then. And I love you if, but I love you not. Come on, we've got to stop this. We've got to let love in and be real with this thing. And, y'all, I'm talking to myself. Praise God. We've got someone that has a question or comment. Good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Gosh, you're hitting the nail on the head. I just want to say that, yes, forgiveness is a big, big part. And when you really look at who it is that is using your loved ones against you to cause you to be angry, to cause you to build that wall,
mm-hmm.
then it's easy to forgive. But if you look at it at themselves as a person, then it's hard. But you're right, what you just said, you know, if God so easily forgives us when we get on our knees and we say, God, please forgive me, and he's like, I forgive you, and then he don't even remember it no more. But we're remembering what happened yesterday and what Sister Such and Such said to us yesterday and how she's just mean and I'm not going to do all that. No, he wants us to be unified. He wants unity in the church as well as in our family. And, you know, honestly, I never realized any of that before, unity in your family, where your first ministry is your family, but I'm realizing that now. And he will
Amen.
Put you in a place when you get it. When you finally get it, he'll put you in a place where you're by yourself and strip you of everything, so you will get it. And you don't want to be in that place. Trust me. But I see the restoration in the same way. Because when
Amen.
You're talking about he's restoring things fast and quickly, Valerie, I see it. He is. He's restoring my relationship with my kids. He's restoring relationships with my brothers and sisters. And I'm
Amen.
Not alone anymore.
Amen. 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 Oh, amen. 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 And he'll do it. He'll do it. Thank you so much for sharing. It's just so important that we get to a place where we're not so caught up in ourselves that we're willing to let the love in again. Because, you know, like I said, I can talk about me. I've gone through a lot. I've gone through a lot of relationships. I've gone through a lot of relational hurt. I've gone through family hurt. I've gone through church hurt. You name it, I've done it. I've been there. I've been through it. And the one thing that I thank God for is that there have been times when people have lied on me and said I felt a certain way about something they did. And I that wasn't even in my mind. But at this point in my life now, I share with people often, I don't get angry. I don't get angry anymore because I recognize that it's not the individual, but it's a spirit that tries to rise up to cause me to get, quote unquote, as they say, out of character. But I am a king's kid. I'm not a king's kid. I'm a daughter. I'm a daughter. I'm his daughter. I am a kingdom ambassador who understands more and more the purpose that God has me here in the earth to do. And it's to empower his people and to help each of us get to a place where we understand what God wants from us. And in understanding what he wants from us, we'll understand more what he has for us. And this month, what he has been speaking all month long is about love. And how love has the power to change everything. Our very existence can be changed by receiving his love and then sharing his love abroad. By letting go of those things that have been bothersome in our lives, by forgiving those people who hurt us, and then by trusting again. I think back to an illustration we had in evangelism class some years ago. When you go to sit down in a chair, you don't inspect the chair. You don't make sure it has four legs. You don't make sure that the seat is sturdy. You don't do any of those things in inspecting that chair. But you go and you set your happy down and you trust it's going to hold you. We do that with a chair. But when it comes to individuals and trusting them again, they have to go through a 36-point inspection. I have to watch what you do. I have to hear what you say. I'm not going to just watch you for a day, but I'm going to watch you for 3 months because I know in 3 months something's going to come to the surface that's going to say, see, I knew I couldn't trust you. But we don't do that with the chair. We don't do that with the key when we put it in the car. We don't do that with our ATM card when we go to the machine and expect money. We don't do that on our jobs when we know it's payday and we know paycheck's going to be there. We don't do that. We trust all that stuff to be in place, but we have an issue with trusting people, forgiving people, and letting love in so that we can be restored. Again, wow, we've got to see that we've got some things twisted. We've got some things twisted in our lives. We have been living according to man's plan, man's way of love for way too long, and it's caused so much damage. But God wants to take this time, and he's used this month on the Empowerment Place to really speak to those things that we've been doing, that we thought were good. But he's letting us know that those things weren't right. They weren't right. They aren't right. They will never be right. Because we haven't let love in. Are you ready this morning for change in your life? Are you ready to lay aside all of that stuff that's been hindering you, that unforgiveness, that anger, that bitterness, that envy, that strife? Are you ready to lay all that stuff aside this morning? Are you ready to stop scrutinizing people, looking for fallacy? Are you ready to let that go? Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for how you're daily empowering us to live a life that's pleasing to you, living a life of love. And as we love again, as we let love in, Father, we thank you for restoring us. And in restoring us, God, we thank you for the manifestation of the things that you have stored up for not just us, for us and our children and our children's children. We thank you for it this morning. God, I pray that these words will be planted into hearts that are able to receive and receive not just the word, but the manifestation of it. We count these things done now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much for joining us. Join us on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., where we will have married couples come on and share with us how to make marriage work. How to make marriage work. As always, we encourage you here at the Empowerment Place to do something every day to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, we ask that you take the responsibility to empower someone else because we are using our keys. God bless you.